All right, Tip In Maple Leaf podcast listeners, we got a special guest today. Omer Osden is joining us all the way from the T-Dot in Toronto. Omer, thanks for being on the show. Really appreciate it. He is
He is a
famous rapper from the 90s, Young Offender. He wrote a Joe Bowen rap. Probably a lot of you have heard this rap at some point in the 90s. It was around. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the song, and then we're going to play it, and then we'll get into some Leaf talk. So tell us about how this came about, what it was, how big it got, that kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah. So I was like trying to get into law school, studying every night, and the only thing I could do was study and listen to Leafs cast radio every night. And Joe Bowen was crushing it. And so I started recording some of the games, and I was already producing and rapping at that time. And dude, that was the best season in my 50 years of being a Leaf fan. That was the best season ever. And
what season was it?
So that was 92, 93.
Okay. So it was
the big released one. It. Yeah. And then we released it again in 93, 94. So it was independent. And then we actually did it for Sick Kids the year after and sold it at the record stores. And it even made number four on the HMV indie charts, something like that. It was played on like 90 stations, Q107. Yeah, it was like, that was the year that the Leafs had real heart. Every single time they won a playoff series, it was like a Stanley Cup parade on Yonge Street. It was crazy. It was so crazy. It was so sick. And so I got to like go to the fan and do interviews. Joe Bowen interviewed me like with Gord Stellick during a Leaf game at Maple Leaf Gardens. It was sick. Like, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome. And all I could say is that was the best year in my memory of being a Leafs fan.
You know, man, think about how hot Toronto sports was at that time. Yeah. Toronto Blue Jays coming off of two World Series wins, right? Leafs right on the cusp of knocking on the door of their first Stanley Cup in forever. The city was on, like Chad and I were little young for those days.
I remember 93.
I remember it, but
every game.
We weren't in party age at that time. No, we couldn't enjoy it that way, right? But think of, the city was on fucking fire.
Totally.
At 92, 93, 94 with the Leafs, absolute insanity in the city of Toronto. Like the sports city was absolutely on fire.
Bro, they over-delivered because on paper they were pretty good, but not that great. And they surprised everybody. Every single series went to a game seven. I just remember like how it started. It was Valentine's Day, 1993. And the Leafs were kind of in contention for the playoffs, and they were losing like 4-1 against the Minnesota North Stars. And then they came back, and you can hear at the beginning of the song, Peter Zezel scores the winning goal. And like all of a sudden we could feel the momentum. And then like Lefebvre, you know, going in and knocking out some guy on Chicago. And like, it was just one series after another. It was insane. It was like, to me, honestly, like I loved when the Jays won the World Series. I love when the Raptors won, but that was my best sports year. And if the Leafs ever win the Stanley Cup, I'll have tears. That's it.
Well, look, man, Chad, I'll let you jump in here in a second.
Yeah,
let's just think about that for a second. Like, the city was going absolutely apeshit. Two back-to-back World Series champions with the Toronto Blue Jays, 92-93. If the Leafs would have got it done, it would have blown out of the water anything that the Jays... Like, that was the first title in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If the Leafs would have won the Cup the same year in 93, oh my God, man. It would have been full-on fucking pandemonium.
Yeah, they had a parade for the team, and they didn't even get to the Stanley Cup final. All right, we're gonna play the song right now, and have a listen. Then we're gonna come back and talk a little more. So let's play that right now.
Zezel coming out in front, holds in front, they score! The Leafs have taken the lead. They score!
It's hockey night in Ontario. On the TV or the radio. You know the man I mean. The best I've seen an announcing machine. So to him I wrote this poem about the one and only Joe Bourne. He talks, rocks, shocks with heart and soul. His play-by-play is out of control. He's got more energy than most Leaf players. A better delivery than other play-sayers. I'd vote for him if he ran for mayor. Who needs a TV with him on the air? Last time the Leafs scored, he blew my speaker. He must be the son of Howie Meek. Detroit, St. Louis, and LA, they all know Joe Bowen came to play. Catch him, save with Felix, save the day.
Holy Mackinac, what a save!
Bowen.
Now comes it from Thor!
Joe Bowen.
Wendell Clark!
Bowen.
Stop by Papa!
Joe Bowen.
Scores! Nikolai Voroshevsky has scored for Toronto! The Leafs win! The Leafs win!
Oh, unbelievable.
Intense is his middle name. It's like the playoffs for every game. And when Joe needs a stat, there's Gord Stellick covering his back. I don't know how the hell Gord knows all those answers to beat the pros. The jokes they make, the goals they call. But I like it best when they call the brawls. You can hear Joe Toke on his word when the Fade beat up that visored nerd. But I know for now Joe was only warming up. Could you imagine when the Leafs win the cup?
Off come the gloves. These two want to go. Now they get in tight. Down goes Brown. Down goes Brown. And the Bay leaves him there.
TKO.
Bobby Brown down. Mikey was shot. The great one awaits. But this has been.
All right, we're back. So that was the Joe Bowen rap by the Young Offender. So speaking of 93, that was your best sports year ever. Let's bring it to this Leaf team that we've had to suffer through the last few seasons in the playoffs. What do you think this team is missing? What's the ingredient that you saw in 93 that you're just not seeing in this team right now?
Okay, so I think we have to put it in context. Like, I was born 2 years after the last Stanley Cup, so I've seen 5 decades of this. And everybody says the D has to be better, coaching has to be better. You know what? I have lived in multiple cities, but I grew up in Toronto, but I've lived in Beijing, New York, Hong Kong, like all these other cities. And there's one thing that's strange about Ontario, different about Toronto, that happens here that happens nowhere else. First of all, before I get into that, I just want to say this is the best Leaf team I've ever seen, period. Auston Matthews is beyond any player that I've seen wear the crest. I mean, you know, some people say you got to wait another few more years for him to prove himself. Everybody eyeball test. Everybody knows he's incredible.
He's going to go down as probably the greatest Leaf of all time.
Exactly.
He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. And the fact that, like, he's of Mexican descent from the desert in Arizona, I mean, it makes it even better. I'm so happy. And, you know, I'm the guy who loves Boreas Salming from like 45 years ago, right? Like, Auston Matthews is the best. But if you take a look, put this into context, it has nothing to do with who's on defense, who's like getting your goals or not getting your goals, your power play. You're always talking about the ingredients, what ingredients it takes. But you know what? You can't cook the ingredients unless you've got the heat. And you know what the common denominator for the past 50 years of failure is? It's me. It's you, Chad. It's you, Dale. It's Steve Dangle. It's everybody, like everybody in Leaf Nation, in Tippin Nation, that like supports the Leafs and just gets a shit sandwich every single time. And we're afraid to drop the gloves. If I go to a restaurant and I get a shit sandwich, I throw it in their face and I don't go there anymore. What do? We just ask for another. We keep going back. We buy the jerseys. We go to the games. We take out the time. Guys, in the end, we're spending money. We're spending our resources. And I got to tell you, I've lived in all these cities, including New York. And there is no other city in the planet, which is the mecca of their professional sport, that hasn't delivered a championship in fucking half a century. Okay? Nowhere. Not a single place. And we're the biggest losers in NHL history. Okay? The longest losing streak. When I was watching All or Nothing, like, I mean, I had to turn it off after 20 minutes when they started getting to 54, 17, 5. Guess what? You just click another one to each of those numbers. It just keeps going. So until we demand a winner, we will not see it in this city. We are the common denominator. And
but what does that mean? Like demand? Like what
are you talking? Are you talking like if you watch a Yankees game, if the Yankees are sucking, the fans have no problem turning on the team on a dime? Or are you talking, this is deeper, this is bigger, we got to fucking really turn on this team if they don't give us what we want, which is a fucking Stanley Cup?
Exactly. Nothing short of a Stanley Cup. None of this low standards make the playoffs or get through one series. It's the Stanley Cup. And the way to do it is to make the players uncomfortable, the management uncomfortable, but the most important one is the ownership. Okay, Bell and Rogers, the ownership. When you make the ownership uncomfortable, that now having this team as a loser is a liability, then you will see a Stanley Cup in this city. You know, in 40 years ago, 45 years ago, Harold Ballard used to say there were 15,000 suckers born every Leaf home game. That's what he used to say. And it's true. But guess what? Fast forward 2021, it's the same shit. Okay, we are the best hockey city in the world, home to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we haven't even got past one playoff series, and that's our standard. Like, that's what we're aiming for. Please make the playoffs. Please get through one series. So if I'm just talking conceptually, if all of a sudden 500 Leafs fans got rid of their Bell or Rogers subscription and switched to, I don't even know what other telecom companies available in Canada anymore, TELUS, and said, we demand a winner. Let's say 500 guys did that. Management's going to hear about that. If it's 1,000 or 2,000, now it's a thing and media starts reporting it. 5,000, American media picks it up and then it goes viral. I can tell you, if you get up to like 10, 20,000 people like boycotting Bell and Rogers until they deliver a Leaf Stanley Cup, when there's heat on the franchise, they fucking will deliver.
In my personal opinion, pinning it on Bell and pinning it on Rogers. Look, man, look at what the Leafs have done here. They finally, forever, they didn't want to do a rebuild. And then Shanahan came in and they finally were like, we got to strip this to the ground, out with Kessel, out with Phaneuf, out with these guys that we're never going to win with. And they went like through the draft. Let's build it. Let's Nylander, Marner, Matthews. They haven't won yet. I get it. Riley, whatever the case may be. But for me, it's not on Bell and it's not on Roger. What else could Bell or Rogers do that really, like, they put Shanahan in place. Shanahan hired one of the youngest, up-and-coming.
It works in Bell and Rogers' favor if they're winning because it's programming, man.
But you guys get what I'm trying to say here? Like,
I get what you're saying.
I don't know what else Bell and Rogers could do. It's up to the guys on the fucking ice. Do you want to win or do you fucking not? Show up when you need to show up or fucking just don't fool us anymore. Like, I pin it on the guys on the ice. That's where I'm at. I'm not on – like, what more could Bell or Rogers do realistically?
So in the hierarchy, Bell and Rogers is where you have to hit them. But make management uncomfortable. Make the players uncomfortable. You know what Montreal used to do when the goalie sucked? They used to throw pennies at him. You know, when I was a kid, like,
wow. Hey,
I
mean, don't forget, we had a little waffle situation not too long ago, a few years ago.
That's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about. Waffles. Everybody should be bringing waffles. Throw them on. They're easy to bring. Revolution.
To Omer's point, that worked. When people started showing up with bags on their head and throwing waffles on the ice, what did they do? They got rid of everybody and they brought in Shanahan and they brought in Lou Lamoriello and they brought in Babcock and they sort of built from the ground up.
But so we're not talking about that team. Wasn't a team that lost in the first round 5 years in a row. That was a team that couldn't make the fucking playoffs if their life depended on it.
Fans didn't turn on them at that point. They may have just let Brian.
Well, enough was enough with those guys. Like, that was a team that Brian Burke built with a bunch of leftover parts that no other fucking team.
Right, but here, the fans stood up and said, fuck that. Here, have a waffle. I know, but I still don't understand what the fuck the waffle meant.
I think it was wake up, wasn't it? Wake up.
Yeah, they're waffling, whatever. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, wake up. Whatever it was, it was a sign of protest. But you know what changed me? It's 2003. They were trying to make a playoff run with Sundin, and they brought in an over-the-hill Gilmore. They brought in an over-the-hill Housley to kind of make people excited that this time it's different. Yeah. And guess what? Housley didn't even get on the ice, and Gilmore was out on his first shift being carried off, like crawling off the ice. Guys, does anything sound familiar? You saw All or Nothing. Those guys, like, nothing taken away from Joe Thornton or Foligno or anything like that, but those guys got injured without even getting hit.
Okay, hang on. Let me ask you this. But I'll ask both of you this. But last year, okay, going into the season, did you not think Kyle Dubas made every move correct that he needed to make and that they were set up they weren't in the Atlantic Division, they were in this all-Canadian division, yep, and the path to the Stanley Cup was as easy as it was ever going to fucking be for these guys, and they still found a way to shit the bed. But, yep, Chad, I know where you're at on this. Like, I felt like...
They were first place in the North.
They were poised to do something last season that they had never... Like, maybe not win the Cup, but... probably maybe get there. We all know it blew up in their face, but did you feel going into it and watching the ride along the way that, okay, I'm watching something different here. This team might be able to do it.
The run that the Montreal Canadiens had, that was the path that we were destined for. And we dropped the fucking ball. We should have went to the Stanley Cup Finals. We had all these, gifts handed to us, Canadian League, Northern League. We had like easy teams. Montreal barely made the playoffs. We should have steamrolled over them. And they were on paper, they were half as good as us. Just look at the Vegas odds. All right. We fucked it. You know why? I think this is the point. I'm not blaming the team. I'm not blaming the ownership. It's us, guys. It's us. They don't have the killer instinct because we're not demanding a winner. We're just happy getting a shit sandwich that has skates and a hockey stick. That's good enough for us. I'll still watch it. You know, I'll still buy the jersey. But guess what? You got to demand a winner. There's no killer instinct that you can't cook the dinner. You can't cook those ingredients without the heat. The fans are the heat. We have to be much more ruckus than we are right now. And I'm going to prove it to you guys. Okay. This is really important. If you got, like, it's hard to see what happens in Ontario. You think it's normal, but the shit that happens here is not normal. Okay. It's not a masculine culture. It's a culture of fucking pussies. And I know people don't like to hear that, but let me prove it to you. What the fuck was that shit about the CN Tower? That was like the biggest middle finger given to Leafs Nation, our monolith of our city, dressed in the colors of the Montreal Canadiens. Dude, if that happened in New York, if the Bo Sox humiliated the Yankees and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, the Empire State Building had the Bo Sox colors, bro, you know what would happen? Fuck.
People in New York would lose.
It would have been fucking riot, man. Yeah. Empire State Building would have been vandalized. Whoever did it would have been run out of town.
The call on the CN Tower is made federally. I wasn't aware of that.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
but
what he's saying is none of the fans did anything.
It was a troll job at its finest.
It was a troll. Like, exactly. Was. That was on purpose. And you know, if that happened in London, if that happened in Italy, if it happened in Brazil for soccer, for any sport, dude, it would have been Chad and Dale marching in the streets. It would have been my generation marching in the streets. It would have been grandfather, 70, 80 years old in Sao Paulo and London marching in the streets too. Toronto, this is what I saw. I saw some newscaster go, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I didn't like it too much. And then some other, it is Canada's team. We should support them. There is no fucking Canada's team.
For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, when the Leafs got beat out of the playoffs by the Habs and the Habs went on the run and they went to the Stanley Cup final, the CN Tower, the federal government in Canada decided that it was, or thought someone thought it was a good idea to light the CN Tower up in all red in support of the Montreal Canadiens. Real fucking smart, real smart call there.
I kind of feel like right now, maybe it's not at the heat that you're talking about, but I feel like right now the fans are turning up the heat in a way that I haven't seen before, because nobody gives a shit about anything but the playoffs. If you talk to a Leaf fan right now, if Matthews scores 60 goals, they don't give a shit. If they get 100 points, they don't give a shit. Win in the playoffs. That's basically the mentality going on.
But we're still going to watch and see how it plays out. Yeah, right?
We're going to watch every game.
But guys, here's the question. What the fuck does like the team and Rogers and Bell care about that? They don't care what you care about unless it impacts them. Like if they're
but feel doesn't it uncomfortable. Impact, doesn't it impact them if the Leafs lose, because their biggest TV score is Leaf games.
Oh,
if huge. If the Leafs go to the Stanley Cup final, Sportsnet's going to make a fucking fortune.
Biggest ratings they would have ever seen.
Yeah.
They still make the money. They still make big money.
But not like they would if it was the Leafs in the final.
By the way, you were talking about droughts earlier. By the way, the Rangers drought was exactly 54 years when they won. It is now exactly 54 years for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we'll see how she cooks down.
But it'll be 55 next year.
There's been a lot worse droughts than that in professional sports. Didn't the Red Sox and the Cubs go like almost 100 years without winning the World Series? Like
they just fucking unloaded.
But Red Sox fans are probably crazier than Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Like there's some crazy, you know what I mean? Like it's all, I get what you're saying, but it's like there's been some crazy, imagine supporting the Red Sox after 70, 75, 80 years of not winning a World Series and you can't get a ticket at Fenway Park.
You know, I was about to, like last week we were in Sports Check and I was about to buy like those retro blue and gray jerseys for me and my daughter. And my wife said, what are you doing? Like, you can't, like, you got to hit them economically. You got to hit them in some way that matters. You can't just like say, okay, it only matters that you guys do well in the playoffs. Like they don't, like obviously they get better ratings, but you have to send a message. You have to drop the gloves. Basically, when Toronto fans are willing to drop the gloves, then we'll get a Stanley Cup. But like, as you said, if we boycott something, there's another 10,000 fans who will go in there and accept the shit sandwich.
Like, I totally understand what you're saying, and I totally appreciate it. But I feel like such a dumbass right now, because anybody who's listening to this and not watching it on YouTube, I've got four different generations of Leaf jerseys directly behind me, and I've got about three more in the closet. And I was as pissed off as anybody when they lost. Like, Chad, how pissed off was I when they lost to the Montreal Canadiens? Like, let's be serious here.
I thought he was changing teams.
Like I was on the edge of doing it.
Outside of the podcast, you were talking about, I don't want to fucking do the podcast anymore.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, I can't continue to watch this shit. What am I doing? But at the end of the day, I still think, okay, well, Matthews and Marner they're only 23, 24 years old. Like, let's see what happens here. Can these guys figure it out? Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But maybe they will. And that's what I'm still like, okay, I'm not going to, these guys are not even in their prime yet. Let's just, yeah, they have not taken it to where they need to take it to, but that doesn't mean that they can't or they won't.
Leafs are sick. Okay. They're amazing. Mullet. Awesome. Mustache. The best Leaf ever.
Definitely the best mustache that there's ever been on a Toronto Maple.
Well, no. Hold on, guys.
Now you're right.
Manny McDonald blows that. Listen, the big Scottish mustache beats that the Mexican.
You're right. Wendell was great. Wendell was great too. And let's not forget Jamie McCowan.
Yeah.
That dirty stash.
Yeah, but all I could say is, I mean, the team is awesome. Simmer, Soupy, everything. But you know what? One thing I realized, thank God, game 7 at home was the brave men and women of the frontline workers of Ontario who are used to seeing death and carnage and cadavers show up at the ER, because that team was dead on arrival. If it was me there watching it live, a mere mortal, I don't have the training to be able to put up with such, like, I mean, it was that seventh game was pathetic. Like Slick Willie tried to, you know, eke one out at the last minute or something like that. I mean, it was really bad. I would have been crawled up on the floor an embryo, like sucking my thumb.
Here's the thing. Game six was almost worse because once they lost game six, we were all kind of like, collective Leafs Nation was kind of like, they're not going to fucking win game seven. There's no fucking way. So, you know.
They don't have the killer instinct. No, it doesn't matter that they got Simmer. It doesn't matter that they got Soupy, mullet, mustache. It doesn't matter. We've seen great players. Sundin was one of the best players ever. He's amazing. Seriously, unless they have the killer instinct, they're not going to win. And you know what made the difference in 93? It was that the best player on the team was named Killer. You had a guy in net, a rookie goalie, Potvin, who went up and beat Hextall. He beat him up. I don't know if you ever seen him do that. It was the team that
incredible.
Was the killer.
You know how tough Ron, you know how tough, doesn't get tougher than Ron Hextall. And that was incredible. Felix Potvin, man. Right. Absolutely incredible.
All right. So just to let everybody know, we are here with a special guest, Omer Ozdin, the young offender, the Joe Bowen rap. This man has been a Leaf fan his entire life. As you can tell from this interview, he's fired up. He's ready to go. Dale's got a question for you, though, Omer, about this team.
I mean, ultimately, we're going to get back into Joe Bowen in a second here because I do want to touch on him.
Holy Mackinac.
But look, I'm curious as to where your thoughts are on with the team on the ice. Do you still have faith that these guys can get it done? The players specifically, like, what are your thoughts on these guys going forward? Can they still get it done or not? What do you think?
You know where that rapping came from? It came from Scarborough. I was born, raised in Scarborough. Now the Leafs have two Scarborough boys to deliver a Scarborough Town Center message, $2 Tuesdays, Bunting and Simmer. Those are the worst guys you want to face in any game. I'm looking forward to this season just for that. But like, after understanding how warm and how much Soupy cares about what he's doing, I mean, I love the guy now. You know, I thought he was awesome before. Now I love the guy. Okay, Matthews, I've got a lot of friends in Mexico. I show them Matthews. They're used to watching soccer where guys are taking dives. Now all of a sudden they're seeing a real man sport, hockey, and they are blown away. It is sick. We have the sickest team ever in my 50 years of loving the Leafs. That includes the Sittler, Lanny McDonald, Salming years. That includes Sundin, Ally Afraidy, all of those. Okay. We got the best team. I love to watch them. I want to see them win. I still believe after being in other cities, unless the fans can make it put pressure, it's not going to happen. Because to win, it's that extra 5%. It's not just showing up and like getting across a couple of series. To win it, it's that extra spark, and that is heart. That's the killer instinct.
Do you not think the pressure is on these guys now, like more than ever? Like, if they fail again, it's like Mitch Marner was getting raked over the coals because he didn't, you know, perform in the playoffs. Chad and I were calling him out as much as anybody, but like, dude, do you not feel though, like they are for the first time since these guys have come in the first four or five years, they were just kind of like, oh, they lost, but they lost to Boston. And it was just kind of like, they'll get them next time. But now it's like, after a brutal loss to Columbus in the play-in round, after a horrific loss to the Habs in the first round, the pressure is on. Like, I think they're walking on glass here, man. It's the pressure is there.
It's not talk radio. It's not Leafs Twitter. It's waffles. It's boycotts. It's like making people uncomfortable. You know, it's like the killer instinct has to be there. And let me just take it back to the last season. One issue we definitely had, which is really apparent, is there was a sense from the top four forwards of a sense of entitlement. They could do no wrong. And that's what happened. And that also permeated into the rest of the team.
Do you think that has changed?
So it might change now, but the culture of
it better Ontario it better fucking change. Change. It better fucking change.
But what are you ready to do to drop the gloves? Let me ask you guys, okay? What are you prepared to do to drop the gloves to get a winner here? Are you willing to go another 20, 30 years? Are you willing to let your sons and daughters suffer the same fate that you suffered? What are you willing to do to get a Stanley Cup here? Tell me, what are you willing to do?
What I'll do whatever it takes, but I'm not going to abandon them because I still fucking crazy me here. Chad, you can speak for yourself. I'm not going to speak for you, but I took that hard loss. I took that playoff loss very hard, but I'm back. I'm ready for a new season. I still believe in the core guys.
You're back and you believe, but you got a chip on your shoulder and I got a chip on my shoulder too. Last year,
I'm not impressed. Now I'm at, well, fucking show me. I don't care.
That's what I mean.
I don't want to hear what you have to fucking say anymore.
Cry in the corner because you lost. Cry in the penalty box. But yeah, I don't know what I would do personally. I don't know.
Like, I'm not going to stop being a Leafs fan. I can't do it. Like, I can't see myself being like, you know, it's for me. It's like, I'm hoping there's a payoff here eventually that is going to be so fucking sweet. It'll make all this disastrous bullshit year after year eventually fucking worth it. Like, one championship and it'll just be like, I don't know what it'll be like because I've never seen it in my life. I imagine it will be fucking fantastic.
You'll probably die. Like, that'll be the end of your life.
Me too. I'll die too. Yeah, that'll be the end of our lives, guys. We'll be on Young Street. Right. Totally. That will happen to me. But are you willing to smuggle egos into Scotiabank Arena? Are you willing to do that?
No, I can't.
Okay. Guess what? That's the difference.
I would talk
That's
about it.
That's the difference
though.
Because like, we're from Ontario.
The thought is there. I want to, but no, I can't do it. Like, guys, they're not going to get that. When Austin Matthews is probably going to set a franchise record for.
I couldn't throw a waffle at Austin.
No, but I respect the guys that did. I respect the guys that did though.
Well, fuck, I can throw a waffle at Dion Phaneuf. No problem.
If it was Kessel and Phaneuf there, I'd be tossing waffles.
How about Marner? Yeah. How about Mitch Marner?
Not yet.
Guys, you know what? At the end of last season, I was ready to throw a fucking waffle at Mitch Marner.
Guys, he epitomizes this issue because when the shit's on the line, he doesn't show up. Like, that's the point. It's not about
are you going to give up on a 24-year-old whose best years are ahead of him?
Well, I got to look back at this stat, but Spitting Chicklets had this stat where like half of Mitch Marner's postseason penalties were for those like delay a game.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's only got like one goal in 14 playoff games.
Dude,
like,
that's enough for me. Good. I know, guys. Like
struggles are real. Let's be serious. The struggles are real. But
can we just throw waffles at him in the playoffs? Because in the regular season, he's fucking dynamite. Just in the playoffs, we throw waffles at him?
Well, who's to say that, you know, Mitch needs to have a big season and show up in the playoffs. You could say that about a bunch of guys.
What if he doesn't? Like, what then if we'll they get to the first round? What are we going to do next
year? We will readdress this situation.
But we say that every year.
No, not really.
No, guys, you guys, everything you guys are saying, I've seen it in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. Now we're in the 2020s, bro. It's the same.
You live through Gord Stellick as GM.
Yeah.
And then you met Gord Stellick. What was he like?
Oh, man. They were sick, dude. Guys, first of all, Joe Bowen is a next level human being. Okay. He was giving me, like, I was a rapper at the time. I was like in law school rapping, all this stuff. He was giving me tips on voice command. I mean, he is like, he is the number one rapper from Toronto, like, even better than Drake. You know what I'm saying? Like, that guy every day keeps it strong. He's amazing. Okay. And he lives, he bleeds blue and white. I don't know. It was amazing to experience that. Gord Stellick is like super smart guy. I loved it. I think they're amazing. But you know what? Those guys deserve to see a Stanley Cup. You deserve to see a Stanley Cup.
Joe Bowen deserves to see a Stanley Cup.
So Joe, just quickly here, I want to get back to Joe for a second. The Leafs just beat the Ottawa Senators 2-1, 3-1. They scored an empty net goal, I believe. So preseason game here, but Campbell looked good. I just have to throw this out because I touched off this guy off the top. Pierre Engvall. Oh, two goals in the 3-1 victory. Goose. Pierre Engvall. He comes off with a groin injury and he buries two goals in his first preseason game.
Well, we
game.
Always knew Pierre Engvall. He had a strong groin.
But okay, so honestly,
Why did he do that? Because the heat's on.
The heat's on.
You want to cook the ingredients, the heat's on, right?
Yeah, he knows. He knows that if he doesn't fucking perform,
right,
he's gone.
That's, guys, that you got to turn up the heat on the Leafs. That's the point. You just proved it right there, Dale. You just proved it. That's the point. The former owners of the Leafs, Ontario Teachers, you made a good point earlier. They're there to get a yield. They're not there to bring in a winner. They just want a cash cow. That's what they bought. That's what you get with the Leafs, a cash cow. They could be the shittiest team and you'll still make a profit. That's the point. Until that changes, until something where Leaf fans are willing to drop the gloves, that's not going to change. But I love the team.
Well, it might change if the team just decides to fucking figure it out in the playoffs and has success. That would change a lot.
We're fragile. We're fragile.
We're bringing fragile. In Housley. We're bringing in Gilmore. You know, they're only 42 years old each.
But this group of young guys, all they have to do to shut everybody up is fucking win. Start winning in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, we're not having this conversation tonight about playoff. We're talking about they made it to the final, and like, let's see what they do this year. But that's not the case. But like, all they need to do to shut everybody up is fucking start winning when it fucking matters. That's what they need to do.
Exactly. When it matters. You know what? Watching All or Nothing also, like, there was a lot of feel-good aspects of the season. Campbell was right up there. Matthews, I mean, just even like Simmons coming in and saying, yeah, I'm there to protect my boys. And, you know, like that, like all of that, Bogosian, everybody, like,
oh man, I miss Zach Bogosian.
Dude, this year was just like, it was amazing. And I wish we could have had the fairy tale season that the Habs had when it mattered. Okay.
The fairy tale turned into a nightmare real quick.
Quick. Yeah. Yeah, that was a masochistic situation, definitely.
Have you kept in touch at all with Joe Bowen over the years? Do you have any relationship with him now, or was it just at the time and that was it?
So that was for Sick Kids, which is like a charity that he supports, and we kept in touch. But like after that, I actually like moved to China right after that point in time. So
can you get him on the Tip In Maple Leafs podast?
Oh fuck. You know what? Guys?
We'll do a foursome next time.
Okay. Guys, come down to Toronto. I'll take you guys to a game, okay? And we'll try to figure it out. We'll figure out how to say hi to him, you know, and then get him on.
He would game for that. So yeah. Omer.
And we can't forget Ralphie, too.
We
got to get Ralphie.
We got to get Jim Ralphie. We got to ask you, what brought you to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast? What was it about the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast that you wanted to come on this show and just drink beer and rant with the boys? We got to hear it.
So, you know, I live in Beijing and New York, and Leafs Nation goes global, and I've like told my friends in San Diego, Connecticut, New York, Hong Kong, Taipei, Beijing, Shanghai, Singapore about the Tip-In. You guys have fans all over the globe, cross border, south of the border, cross Pacific, into Asia. I'll ask them. They're probably listening right now. They'll send you a message. You guys are global. Tip-In Nation is global. You know why? Because you guys are fucking hilarious. And you're keeping it real. And for guys like me who like left Canada a long time ago, but still like love the blue and white, we love to just sit there and shoot the shit about hockey with guys who were doing hockey since they've been 2 years old, not learning it at the age of 35. Like it's in our blood, and having a brewski. And Canadians are the funniest in the world. Torontonians are hilarious, and you guys are hilarious. You know what I mean? All the jokes are like top notch. So my friends overseas love it. I love it. You guys are the real deal. Awesome. Now,
appreciate you saying that. We both appreciate that so much.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to end on this, Chad, or wherever you want to go after this, but
yeah.
I feel like I cannot end this interview without at least saying this. How much do you love a Tip-In?
Fuck, bro. I love a Tip-In. I love a Tip-In. I love that the fact that we've got like this is the podcast with the most homoerotic jokes in fucking podcast history. I love it, man. That's the way, that's what we were like in college, and that's the way it rolls right now. You guys are hilarious.
Do you have any tip-in memories? Like any great tip-ins? Or is that putting you on the spot?
Way to put him on the spot, man.
Yeah, guys, I'm married. You know what I mean? Like, come on, guys. Like, tip-in memories, I'm married. But, like, I think, like, just Thornton kind of reaching out like a rocker and kind of tipping in the puck with his extending his stick.
Gorgeous.
You like the old dirty tips.
You like the old dirty reach around tips. We get it.
Yeah, the big beard tips.
Oh, we've all been there. All right. Well, for the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, Omer, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Like, we appreciate it. I hope you come back again.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Do you want to plug anything? Do you want
anything to plug?
Socials or anything that you're doing that you want to plug?
Or do you just want to meet us for a beer in downtown Toronto and go to a game?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a beer. We're going to go downtown Toronto. We're going to like rush Joe Bowen. We're going to, you know, maybe bring some waffles if they're shitting it up. Like, we don't know. We'll wait
till about 20 games in. And if they're 10-10, we'll bring the waffles.
Right. But you know what? The point is that this is generational. I love the Leafs. You love the Leafs. I hope that they win this season. You can check out the Joe Bowen rap. It was the founder of Down Grows Brown who put that up on YouTube. Check it out.
We'll post it on all our socials as well.
Cool. And if you like it, donate some money to Sick Children's Hospital, because Joe Bowen loves that charity and so do we. You know, it's Toronto.
If you want to watch the Joe Bowen rap video on YouTube, just go to @DownGoesBrown on YouTube, scroll through or just search it and you will find it. It is great. The video is great. Omer, thank you so much for being on the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. And
love you guys.
One last thing before we go. Predictions on this season. How do you think it's going to play out?
Oh, fuck. I think Austin Matthews is going to show us something that we've never, ever seen before. I think the Scarborough brothers are going to beat up a lot of guys. I think that we're going to have a lot of fun. But I can't predict the playoffs. Like, I believe we'll make the playoffs. But for me, unless they get past two rounds, it's not good enough. You know, that's my standard.
Last question for me here. Do you think Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Sheldon Keefe all work for the Toronto Maple Leafs come training camp next season?
If they lose, is that what you're saying?
No, just regardless. Do you think all three of those guys are still employed by the Leafs at the start of next season, the 22-23 season?
I think that those guys are super solid, a little bit young. I think that they'll still be here. But you know what? Making it to the playoffs or one round is not good enough for me. Okay? We got to change our standards. They got to fucking get like at least two rounds, and I want a cup. I want a Stanley Cup. So Shannon better deliver it.
Okay, so I just would like to ask you, like, how, when you wrote the song initially in the early 90s, was it 92 or 93? It was 93, right?
It was 93.
Okay, so when you wrote the song initially, how did it end up gaining the traction that it did? How did it end up getting... Like, how did it end up being so big? How did it get to that point? Like, what happened to make that happen?
Because the track is sick. The track is sick, man. Joe Bowen sells on his own. Like,
but there was no viral at that time. Like, there was no, I posted it to Facebook and it got shared 1,000 times. Like, how did it get played on the radio station?
Yeah, how did it get so big?
How did it get to the point where you're meeting with guys from sports radio and Joe Bowen himself? Like, how do you do that at that time?
You know what? You just make it happen. How did we connect? You know what I'm saying? You go and be proactive. So I was producing hip hop. I was in a crew. I had like Young Offender, which was my white rapping project. And then I had like an actual hip hop project, Unique Elements.
And so you were already doing stuff on the music scene in Toronto.
In Toronto and Windsor and Detroit. Okay. And my hip hop crew was real hip hop. And then I had like this white style rapping, which is kind of funny and stuff. And I just like, I did it. I took it to the fan and they went crazy for it.
Then so you, they started okay, so you, playing you produced, it. You produced it yourself. You recorded
everything.
It.
Yeah. Everything. And then so I had like clips, a DJ do the scratching. Yeah.
All the clips in there of Joe Bowen calling games and stuff. You edited that all in yourself?
Dude, I had like, when I was a kid, I used to deliver the Toronto Star. I bought this boom box when I was 10 years old. And then when I'm in my 20s, like trying to get into law school, I started just recording the games because the calls were so sick. And I'm like, dude, I could sample that. You know, I could turn that into a track because it's so powerful. And like, there's the product, right? Like, I mean,
so you took it, to the fan 590 yourself. And and you were like, what, you walk in the front door, you like, and are like, hey, yo, check this out.
Yeah. At 1430 back then. And they were like, holy shit. And then I started talking to Gord Stellick and then Joe Bowen. And I had to go to the Leafs to get like the logo, because if you look at the logo, we actually use the Leafs logo. If you see on YouTube, you can see the cover of the album. It was cassette tapes back then. I drew that with the puck and the, you know, and I had to get their approval. Everything was like all do it yourself. And yeah, there was nothing like that, you know, viral video or anything. So we started stacking it in HMV, Sam the Record Man. I don't know if you guys were around, but like records were stolen. We're in record stores back then.
That's in our wheelhouse. We were in our prime of like just beginning our musical journey into like, Sam the Record Man, HMV, like the whole deal, man. We were all like, we knew all about it, but it's crazy to think that, like, you know, you were able to go to the fan and go to these record stores and be, and they were all like, okay, this is awesome. Like, that's just such an incredible thing.
Yeah, thanks. Like, I mean, I did it in 92, 93. And I started getting calls from record companies saying they wanted to produce it and release it. And then they'd be like, balking, are the Leafs going to make the next round? Are the Leafs going to make the next round? And then, so it was like playing on the radio in 92, 93, and then 94, we actually released it professionally. And so like I said, Q107 was playing it, 90 stations across Canada playing Leaf games, played it multiple times, interviews. It was, I mean, it was, dude, listen, if the Leafs get on a roll like that, okay, us three will do another track that'll be hilarious, that will be fun to listen to, and fucking the whole country will be listening to it. You know what I'm saying?
You got to strike while it's hot. You got to strike while it's hot.
Yeah, and you got to make it funny. You know?
The only thing, well, the only thing that, listen, man, I've dreamed many dreams of this, okay? And I don't know what else there is to say other than this. Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, Leafs versus whoever it is, the Oilers, the Avalanche, whatever the case may be. What happens? Game-winning goal?
A tip-in.
It's tipped in the fucking net, and that's all for she wrote. Sure. And the Leafs win. The Leafs win. The Leafs win their 14th Stanley Cup on a tip-in winning fucking goal, and it is just panda fucking modium. Good night, fucking Toronto.
Good night, Irene.
Who's gonna do it? Who's gonna get the tip-in?
It's got to be
Bunting.
It could be Bunting, but it's probably going to be JT. JT.
Or Willie.
King of the tips.
Yeah,
King
I think I'm calling Slick Willie on this one because like he showed up, right?
He's
he
not known up. For the tip-in action.
Oh, he's got a smooth tip-in. You don't see it coming. He sneaks it in there.
Okay, so yeah, it might be Willie. That's right.
All right, for the Tip-In Maple Leaf Podcast, Omer, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Tip-In Maple Leaf Podcast, on Twitter at the Tip-In Podcast. Email us at thetipinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, we will
catch you later. Thank you for joining us. We'll have you back again anytime. Anytime you're welcome back.
Right on. Detroit, St. Louis, and LA. They all know Joe Bowen came to play. Catch him, save with Felix, save the day. Holy Mackinac, what a save!
Bowen.
Now comes it from Thor!
Joe Bowen.
Wendell Clark!
Bowen.
Stop my Papa!
Joe Bowen.
Scores!